The Holy Spirit is there to convict us, but are we listening to the Holy Spirit? That we want the Holy Spirit to baptize me, but the Holy Spirit can't baptize me as long as I live a life of sin. And when you get rid of sin, you'll see God not only baptizing you, but He'll begin to use you in such a way you never thought you could be used by God.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Raul was rebellious and self-destructive when the Holy Spirit stepped in to convict and transform him. Over time, Raul changed so radically that his witness drew many of his loved ones to Christ. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 for a free DVD of Raul's inspiring story. Today, Raul dives into the first chapter of Acts with an inspiring look at Christ's ascension into heaven and the promise He made to leave His people with the gift of His very own Spirit. As you follow along, you'll get strong reassurance that with the God-given power and authority of the Holy Spirit, the Lord can use you to do great things for His kingdom. Let's listen as Raul begins.
Look how he begins the book of Acts chapter 1. He says, "The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach." That word that he says, the former account, is in reference to the Gospel of Luke. He's taking us back to the Gospel of Luke. But then you see that word account, the word is logos, which is translated the word in 218 out of 330 occurrences in the New Testament. You see that word, logos, the word. The former account of the word that I made, O Theophilus, of all the things that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Notice the ministry of Jesus, doing and teaching, preaching the gospel, healing people. I mean, just doing all the things that he desired to do just because the Father sent him and he wanted to fulfill prophecy concerning himself. This guy by the name of Theophilus, he was a Roman officer. And they said that he not only bought Luke's freedom, he was actually a prisoner, and Luke was a doctor, a physician. He took care of Paul the apostle. And they said that he not only bought Luke's freedom, but his name means lover of God. He loved God with all of his heart. He says, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. You see, the two main aspects of Jesus' ministry, doing and teaching. That's before his ascension, before he ascended to heaven. And then he says, verse 2, until the day in which he, Jesus, was taken up after the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. You notice that the apostles were chosen, just like you and I are chosen. They didn't just come to Jesus. If you remember Jesus walking around the Sea of Galilee, he went ahead and he chose Peter. He chose his brother, Andrew. He had all these people that he was calling. And when he calls you, if you read the scripture, when he called them, they left everything they were doing to follow Jesus. They didn't say, well, next week, Lord, next month, I got to take care of this and take care of that. Immediately, they followed Jesus. That's important. And when they followed him, guess what? They learned from Jesus what he was doing, preaching, healing, all these things that he was doing, they watched them. And the reason Jesus had him with himself, he had disciples with himself, is because he knew he was going to die, he was going to rise again from dead, and they would carry the baton. They would be the ones to be left here and to take the gospel to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. That's what the gospel's all about. And here we are today. What does God commission you to do in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world? What has he called you to do? The apostles fully surrender. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 16:24? If any man wants to come after me, let him deny himself and pick up his cross and follow me. The word to deny means there to forget about yourself. We're always thinking about self. And Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, then you got to forget about yourself. You got to take up your cross. You got to die to yourself. And then he says, you follow me, you take up your cross and follow me. And when you follow him because you want to be next to Jesus, because you want to learn from him. Lord, what do you want me to do? Teach me. In verse 3, he says to whom? He also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them, the apostles, during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Remember, he died on the cross. 3 days he rose again. And from the rising of the dead, 40 days he lived here with the disciples. Leading them, speaking to them, teaching them. And after 40 days, as he says here, now he ascends to heaven on the 50th day. The Holy Spirit comes and baptizes the disciples of Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit. He goes on to say, he says, and he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during the 40 days, you notice, and speaking of the things pertaining to what? To the kingdom of God. He was always speaking about the kingdom of God. We need to talk about the kingdom of God. I mean, how many times we speak about foolish things? Things that are not building up, things that are not really edifying people. But sharing our testimony, sharing the gospel of Christ, sharing how God healed you, what God has done this week with you, how he's not only leading you and guiding you, providing for you, all these things that we need to share with people to build up their faith. Because everything you did was by faith. And God honored your faith. I love that. God honors our faith because of who he is. And then he says, verse 4, and being assembled together, notice the unity here, assembled together, there's no divisions. I mean, why is it like the church of Corinth, they were always having divisions? The Holy Spirit cannot move among divisions. He cannot. You grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians 4:30 says that. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And the word griever means to bring pain. The Holy Spirit's a person. So when you're not connected to the Holy Spirit and you're actually not doing what he says, you grieve the Holy Spirit of God. You bring pain to the Holy Spirit of God. He cannot work in your life the way he wants to work when there's unity, when there's love, when there's forgiveness. And he says, together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. When he uses here the word to assemble, in the Greek it means this, the passing of the night with lodging with. The passing of the night and lodging with. So here he's saying, being, lodging, together with them, he commanded them, not to what? Not to depart from Jerusalem. You see, there are times that the Lord says, don't go anywhere. Stay here. And how many times when the Lord says this to us, we want to go here, we want to do that, and we're not really being obedient to what the Lord says. And the reason he wanted them in Jerusalem is because he was going to baptize them with power. If they would have never obeyed that, they would never had the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when you're not open to the Holy Spirit, you don't want to be obedient to the Holy Spirit, guess what? He'll go somewhere else and do what he has to do. He promised it. He says, but to wait for the promise of what? Of the Holy Spirit. Where was it promised? Believe it or not, the first one, Joel chapter 2. He said in the last day he was going to pour out his Holy Spirit. The same prophecy he gave in Acts chapter 2, we'll see next week. Peter standing up and saying, what you hear now, the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the 30 nations that were there, they heard them speak in their own dialect of their own language. He says this was prophesied in the book of Joel, in the book of Ezekiel, in the book of Isaiah. All these books, the promise of the Holy Spirit in the future would take place. And surely I have seen it in my life. I hope you've seen it in your life. When the promise of the Holy Spirit came upon my life, And he says, look what he says, which he said, you have heard from me. He says in John 14, 16, chapter 15, verse 26, he told the disciples, you guys, when I leave, I'm going to send the promise of the Holy Spirit. And when he comes, he's going to lead you. He's going to teach you. You're going to do all these things because I have promised it, and now I'm delivering it to you. And then he says, John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Acts chapter 2. Not many days from now, you're going to be baptized. Verse 6. Therefore, because of this, when they had come together, notice the unity again. When they had come together, they asked Jesus, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? He'd been talking to them about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God was being fulfilled for the future. And the kingdom of God was something that not only he demonstrated to them when he was with them, as he was teaching, preaching, healing the kingdom of God. So God is preparing through the scriptures. He's warning us. He's sharing with these guys, look, you guys, I'm leaving, but I'm coming back again. And the reason I'm leaving is I'm going to pour the Holy Spirit on you guys so you can take my word and go preach it and see people get saved and get people to be baptized. Verse 7. And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Notice the Lord wants us to live by faith. Doesn't matter when he comes, we live by faith. If he said he's coming back again, he's going to come again. Maybe we won't see it in our own generation, but maybe another generation, but it's going to happen. How many people back in the 1600s, Jonathan Edwards, all these guys, they preach about the coming of the Lord and that the Lord was coming back, but he hasn't come back yet. Can we say that God's a liar? I don't think so. He's going to come. And sometimes because he hasn't come yet what happens? We die and we're in the presence of the Lord. So to me, since I got saved, I believe by faith. And I've always believed that Jesus was going to come in my generation. But if he doesn't, I don't really care. I'm going to be in his presence one day. And I think that's something within each one of our lives, that we need to understand that God's word will come to pass. Not in our time, but in his time. It is not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Here comes verse 8. But you personally shall receive the authority, the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit. Notice, has come upon you. Circle that word, upon. Remember I told you, with, in, and upon. The authority given to us. The authority of being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Power, authority to witness. Authority to live the Christian life. Authority to rebuke Satan. All these things that are given to us. And then he says the word that he uses here, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. The word witnesses here happens to be 13 times in the book of Acts. 13 times, witnesses. To me, personal. In Jerusalem, in all of Judea, in Samaria, and unto the ends of the whole earth. Notice the last thing is reference to who? To the Gentiles. Notice that. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then unto the whole earth. The Gentiles will receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Jew and the Gentiles. You see, we need the Holy Spirit to witness. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to pray. We need the Holy Spirit to overcome sin. We need the Holy Spirit to have the power to speak God's word, to study God's word, to share God's word. And to me, that verse has always been powerful in my life. That the Lord took time to share with the disciples, you guys, listen, and you shall receive. I'm going to give you. You have to receive it. Power, dunamis power. That is going to come upon you. And when that power comes upon you, he says you're going to be so amazed in the power that you have to stand against the devil and to be baptized with power of the Holy Spirit, to be able to witness, to overcome sin. And this is what we want here tonight, to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I would pray that each one of us individually would ask for that. I wrote this down, the word that he uses here again, upon. The word in the Greek is dunamis. It means this, the freedom to exercise the inward force. Baptize him, give him the power. Verse 9. And now when he had spoken these things, while they were watching him, so he's in the Mount of Olives standing there. And when he was speaking, while they watched, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. So they're watching and all of a sudden he's gone. And then while they looked steadfastly, notice. And the word here steadfastly means to be a practical gaze. He says towards heaven. As he went up, behold, two men, two angels, stood by them in white dress. And we see that also in Matthew 28, 3, and John 20, verse 12, angels. Angels are found in the book of Revelation. Everywhere you look in the book of Revelation are angels. He says, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? Don't you remember what Jesus said to you guys? I mean, how many times the Lord tells us something and we're sitting there, When he says, then I tell you guys, don't you believe it? Do it. He goes on. Standing gazing up into heaven, the same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go up into heaven. The promise of his coming back again. You see, it's describing the day of the Lord. The purpose, to fulfill God's word. Secondly, to judge the world. Thirdly, to reward God's people. And fourthly, to set up his kingdom age. Again, number one, to fulfill his word, to judge the world, to reward God's people, and to set up a kingdom age for the people. And then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a 7 days journey, 2/3 of a mile from there. Now, the events in the Mount of Olives, for example, number one, we had the prophecy of Jesus in the Mount of Olives coming back. And then secondly, prophecy concerning Jesus sent his disciples from a donkey to get a donkey. Thirdly, he spoke of the signs of his coming. And fourthly, after the Lord's Supper, what did he do? He went up to the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives was an important place where Jesus spent a lot of time in the last week of his crucifixion, before he was crucified. And then he goes on to say, and when they had entered, they went up into the upper room. Remember the upper room? You know, they say that this might be the place where they had supper too when Judas walked out. But when they entered the upper room, notice where they were staying. Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. That's not Judas Iscariot. And these all continue. Again, notice unity. These all continue with one accord. Were in prayer and supplication with women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his two brothers or his brothers. When they got saved, they wrote the epistles. They believe that before Jesus died and rose again, they really didn't know Jesus, and he was a stepbrother and lived with them, and they never believed in him. Until Jesus died and rose again, then they gave their lives to Jesus, and the Lord used them to write the book of Jude, to write the book of James. And then verse 15, in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples, altogether number of names was about 120, and said, men and brethren, the scripture, notice the word of God, he backs up everything by the word of God. Now, when people come to you and they want to give you a prophecy or they want to give you something, you say, prove it in the scriptures. Show me in the word of God. If it's not in the word of God, then don't believe it. It's false. Somebody gives you a prophecy. Good. You write it down. You wait on the Lord. If it comes to pass, it was stupid. If it doesn't come to pass, it was not true. You got to check everything out by the Holy Spirit. He goes on to say, men and brethren, the scripture had to be fulfilled. Psalm 69:25, Psalm 109:8, which the Holy Spirit spoke by the mouth of David. Going back to the Old Testament, David and the Psalms prophesied that this would take place. By the Spirit spoke of the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a god to those who arrested Jesus. He prophesied about Judas Iscariot becoming a traitor and the way he was going to die. He says, for he was numbered with us. Notice, with us. And obtained a part in this ministry. He was part of the ministry, but he never truly became a disciple of Jesus Christ. Never. And now this man purchased a field. Remember, he got the money, and then he took it back, and then he wanted to take it back, but when they took it back, they bought a field. He's going to tell you in a moment here. And Judas purchased a field with the wages of iniquity. And falling headlong, the word falling headlong literally means having fallen flat. He fell flat and splattered all over the place when he hung himself. He burst open in the middle and all his entrails gushed out. Judas Iscariot. His death was horrible. A traitor. One that had an opportunity to be with Jesus, to be a true disciple. And then it came known to all those dwelling in Jerusalem, so that the field is called by their own language, Akeldama, the field of blood, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his dwelling place be desolate, and let no one live in it, and let another take his office. Therefore, these men who have accompanied with us, all the time that the Lord Jesus went out and among us, beginning with the baptism of John to the day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. So Judas is minus. Now they need another disciple or another apostle. So what do they do? Verse 23. And they proposed two men, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, you, O Lord, who know the hearts of all, show us which of these two you have chosen to take part in this ministry, in the apostleship from which Judas, by transgression, fell, that he might go into his own place. Now check this out, verse 26. And they cast lots, and the lot fell on Matthias. And he was numbered with the 11 apostles.
Well, Jesus has given us such an incredible gift in the Holy Spirit, and we hope you've been encouraged today to open yourself up to a greater measure of his power and wisdom in your life. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. If you'd like to review today's lesson, we can send you a complete copy for a gift of $5 or more. Simply call 800-634-9165 and ask for Raul's message from Acts chapter 1. We'd also like to offer you a resource simply titled The Holy Spirit. It's a 4-CD study pack from Raul that offers a scriptural look at who this third member of the Trinity is and what his role is in helping you walk in Christ's authority and strength. You'll see how surrendering to the Holy Spirit will literally transform your life as you allow him to guide you out of your natural limitations to do mighty things for the Lord. Don't wait to discover what's possible in a life led by God's Spirit. Contact us to order Raul's 4-CD series titled The Holy Spirit. To make your purchase, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. We'll send you this audio collection for a gift of $18 or more. That phone number again is 800-634-9165. Our mailing address, if you'd like to order the resource by writing us, is Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. We also have a new free resource we're very pleased to provide. Now you can visit Raul's YouTube channel every Tuesday at noon West Coast time for Straight Talk, a Q&A program that will help you see current issues through the lens of Scripture. And to help you keep all of our Somebody Loves You radio resources at your fingertips, be sure to download our app to your iPhone or Android. For additional guidance from Scripture, we invite you to access iTunes or Spotify and download free podcasts of Rawls' teaching. Well, this has been an incredibly difficult year for all of us, but here at Somebody Loves You Radio, we remain committed to helping you find solid ground on the unchanging truths of God's Word. Let us know if there's anything that we can do to support you more effectively, and let us know how we can pray for you as well. Somebody Loves You Radio is made possible through the generosity of listeners like you. Every gift you give is tax deductible, and your donations help keep us on the air. Join us again next time for more from the Book of Acts. We'll take an exciting look at the moment in history when God first sent His Holy Spirit to dwell within His people in all of the fullness of His power, wisdom, and authority. This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.